We, by our nature, are people of story. Just think about it. Whenever you call up your friends to catch up after perhaps you've been on vacation, what do? You tell the stories of what you did when you were away. Or perhaps when you go to the coffee shop and you meet someone new, you usually exchange in that interchange the story a bit of who you are. And when we gather together as a church, as a community, we tell the stories of our faith. There's nothing like a good story. But you've got to know that when a story begins with "once upon a time," you know there's going to be a great moral at the end of it. And it's going to be a relatively safe story. And when a story begins with "in the spring of the year, the time when kings go out to battle," you know that it's all going to be messy. And you have no idea what the end result's going to be. This story starts with more testosterone than most, and it doesn't stop there. It keeps going. David, who you will remember, is fair of face and a handsome young man, sees a beautiful young woman just before he's ready to go out and wage war as well. And of course, the inevitable happens. With a bit more than the inevitable, David is determined to have Bathsheba and will do anything to accomplish that goal, including having her husband stay outside his gates. And because he was far too righteous to go and be with his wife when he was in the service of the king, little did he know that the king had certainly made well use of his service in other ways. And poor Uriah was then sent to the front of the battlefield so that he would be killed, and David would be able to keep Bathsheba and her child. Not one of the prettiest stories of our history, perhaps. And it was delightful to hear Glenn read it in his lovely, deep voice. That was good. Sounded much better coming from you than me this morning, Glenn. But when we think about the story, about that story, it kind of, when it starts, we all kind of go, "No, no, don't do it." It's like a movie. You know, you can start it and you go, "No, no, don't go there, David. Just make a different decision. Do something else." And yet, part of us is going, "Yeah, go for it. Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens." But isn't that what our lives are like? We have things in them that we will do anything to accomplish. And sometimes those are for good, and sometimes they are not. We will do anything to make sure that we are strong and healthy, at least looking to others. One of my greatest role models is my mother, who ended up with MS at a very young age, long before I was born. And they thought there was no cure. Well, there was no cure, of course, for it, but they did not know what would happen to her. My mother did not die until she was 83, at which time she'd had MS for over 60 years. She never told me until I was 17, why occasionally she was a little grouchier than normal. I just thought that was a mother thing. But it was because she wasn't feeling well, and it was that she was challenged. I said, "How come you never told me?" She goes, "Well, I didn't really tell anyone except your dad." And I said, "Why?" And she said, "Well, I was not going to let that disease rule my life. And so I was going to be me, and I was going to cope with it as best I could." She used to take up collection in church, and the first day she stumbled, she gave it up. She said, "I don't want," and so she went a little extreme, absolutely, and has set the standard for me that is not particularly good in some ways. But on the other hand, she lived and had a long and wonderful life. Well, that's kind of the opposite of going for it whenever perhaps it's not the best decision. What will we do? We will walk over people. We will tell lies. We will spread rumors. We will do almost anything to get what we want sometimes in our lives. So we're not really the best people all the time, which is why it's so good we have this reading about David. Because he, the king, who one would worship and honor and praise and be thought well of, also shows his incredibly human side. Eugene Peterson says, "We don't become more spiritual by becoming less human. We don't become more spiritual by becoming less human. It's in our human moments when often our faith, whether we have it or not, becomes real and grounded. It's when we are at our most vulnerable. It's when we are at our most terrible, when we're at our most self, when we're our most human, in all the best and all the worst ways we are, that God is to be found." In today's gospel, we have the feeding of the 5,000. And of course, there's all these people there. And it says Jesus is testing the disciples because he already knows what he's going to do. I think that's a great story. That's a great story. I suspect Jesus went, "Holy smokes, look at all these people. What am I going to do?" Well, what one does when one's in a leadership position is never tell anyone you have no idea what you're going to do. You all know this. I've been here long enough now. You probably know that. You kind of go, "Yes, what would I do? Excellent. I'll just feed them. We'll just feed them all." And they do. But they don't actually feed the people. A little boy brings up the food. A little boy, one of the most human things we see, a young child, brings up the food. And from that, God makes there be enough. So there are all those people in their weakness, in their hunger, in their need, asking for healing and teaching and everything else. And not only does God look after all of that through Jesus, also provides their basic needs, their food, their bread, their fish, their companionship. And then an interesting, funny thing happens in the gospel. They, of course, want to go off again somewhere else. They're never standing still. They're obviously, it must be, they've got the ants in their pants in this gospel. They keep moving every time you turn around. Now they're going to Capernaum. Now they're going over there. And they decide to hop in a boat and go. What is curious is they leave Jesus behind. Did you notice that in the gospel reading? They got into the boat and started across the sea. It was dark and Jesus hadn't come to them yet. Well, no wonder. They were in the boat on the sea and he was still back with the 5,000, presumably. And yet, the sea, of course, became rough and a strong wind and there was a storm and they'd rowed pretty far and Jesus walks across the sea to them. And then they're terrified. Isn't that like us? We have a great party with a whole bunch of people, then we go off and do something else. Sometimes we forget those that we have spent time with, and we get into trouble. We get into trouble, and we don't know what we're going to do, and God appears in one form or another. Sometimes that form is not what we expected, or hoped for, or longed for. Yesterday, I had the honor of presiding at a funeral, and just before the funeral was to start, one of the adult children of the person who had died came to me and said, "I'd like to add something to the eulogy." And the family had prepared a couple of eulogies and asked me to read them. And I said, "Okay, sure." So she said to me, "I would like you to say that I think my mother was the inventor of tough love." And with tears, she said, "And now I thank her for it." So I read the other two eulogies and read that and said that line. And everyone, we had just heard about this strong woman who had raised, and they had written themselves, four will-filled, determined children. In other words, four children of trouble. If you haven't had children like that, you've probably been one. And there she was in her moment of grief and in a moment of grace when everything seemed gone for her because she was having a really hard time with this death. What did she think of? "My mother must have been the inventor of tough love, and now I thank her for it." Often those moments of Jesus coming to us, God coming to us, whether it be in the moment of walking across the water, whether it be in David yet becoming a great king, despite all of his humanity, whether it's in gracing us with strength when we have something that has kept us weak. No matter when that is that that happens, we are human, and God is God. And that is one of the best things, the best news of our story that we share. And when we forget that, because we all do, thankfully there is a thing called the church. There are people called our friends and our faithful companions. And there is a book filled with good news that reminds us that no matter what, when we're the most human, when we're the most wonderful and the most terrible, it doesn't all rest on us. It rests on God to speak through us and to us and within us and helps us go ahead and proclaim that news. So maybe God be all in all of your Bathsheba moments in the future. Amen.